Teresa of Avila, in her autobiography, The Way of Perfection, lays out for us a journey. You all know that, right? You've gone over this many times, and you're probably saying to yourself at this point in time, again? Now?
So it's nice to be reminded.
Ah, okay. The first leg of the journey is what she calls the prayer of recollection. I got some yeses, so that must mean that that's true. She says that if we practice setting aside time to be quiet, practice a willingness to focus on our faculties, and practice a willingness to be open to the holy, a couple of things occur. One, our minds go wild. Thoughts, memories, things that need to be done, faults, successes, failures, people, worries, concerns, plans, fantasies, things that we want to happen, and any number of other items into our minds. Gradually, if we also practice not taking offense at any or all of these items, or try to drive them away, our minds begin to quiet themselves. Note, we can't quiet our minds. They quiet themselves. And gaps appear between the thoughts. Here, the second thing occurs. We are surprised to discover that in these gaps, she says, we experience God with us. Teresa tells us that the prayer of recollection requires a conscious, active effort in participation by us. We have to draw water from the well, which can be laborious and arduous work. That is, we have to consistently practice discipline and concentration, creating a routine in which our minds and bodies anticipate moments in which we are alone. Many of us, possibly all of us, go through periods of time where this is just not. I was reflecting back on a rather lengthy period from around 1984 until about 1996, where my periods, consistent periods of time in which I was quiet, were very inconsistent. Why? Well, for a lot of different reasons. I was younger, for one thing, and had more energy. I was more involved. I had less time. I liked to sleep longer. I stayed up later at night. So there's a whole bunch of different things that were going on. What is also true is that the time of day this routine occurs varies with each person. Some people, for example, practice this routine first thing in the morning. Others practice their routine late at night. Some vary their time by choice or necessity. as in my case, very often. Out of necessity, sometimes laziness, but so out of necessity, most of the time, that time varied. And therefore was not as consistent as it could be. When we practice isn't as important, that we practice is more important. We have numerous approaches to help us with this routine. Someone mentioned centering prayer the last time we were together. The Ignatian Examen, Lectio Divina, journal, and numerous variations of these and other approaches can be helpful to our efforts. They are methods, that's all they are. Much depends upon our personality. Teresa mentions the importance of knowing our personality indirectly by encouraging us to know ourselves. Added to these alone times, it is also important for us to interact, to commune with other people. The prayer of recollection, as does all prayer, leads us to be of service to others. Otherwise, we are tempted to live as though we have an exclusive relationship with God, which is an oxymoron. It leads us to easily take offense and to isolate ourselves from others. Name-calling, claiming that we have the truth while others are living falsely, intellectual snobbery, condemnation of others, belittling, and any number of other ways in which we refuse to recognize our connection with others establish and entrench barriers. Each and all prevent us from entering the prayer of recollection by making us rich, full in our ego selves, and provide us with opportunities to observe the ways by which we resist the prayer of recollection by promoting self-reliance. God uses everything. Practicing willingness to observe without judgment and with compassion helps our riches, our fullness, transform into poverty, emptiness. Teresa calls this process of transformation of our riches into poverty purification. The process almost always involves suffering. That is, mental turmoil and spiritual aridity. The experiences of mental turmoil and spiritual aridity are the side effects of observation. Our ego selves cannot observe. They can only judge. When we observe, and judgment is mitigated by compassion, the significance of achievements lessens, and we begin to somewhat freely receive all as unearned and undeserved gift. The sense that we are doing, required by our ego selves, is diluted with a sense that God is doing for us, through us. Teresa suggests that now we might be entering the prayer of quiet. That's the second one, right? Okay. Using her analogy of the well once again, we no longer have to draw water from the well. Now we channel water from a nearby river in order to irrigate. We discover that we are now more at ease with our ego selves being deluded by God flowing through us. And we struggle less to be the doer. When something is diluted, it often loses clarity. Paradoxically, Teresa speaks of this segment of the journey opening us to receive an infusion of divine light. We cannot as easily manufacture or manipulate this stage of prayer. We can only, on our better days, make ourselves ready to receive it when it comes. This segment of the journey takes time and requires an adjustment on our part. That happens to us naturally. It happens to us naturally because we don't often recognize that we have entered this segment of the journey until we are surprised, usually, repeatedly, that we don't take offense as easily. Our expectations are not as important to us as they once were. And we are not as anxious and upset about many things. It is also during this period of time that our routine changes slightly, even though our routine doesn't change. Prayer isn't as laborious and arduous, nor is it as satisfying. We might feel as though we are in a rut, getting nowhere, and we are surprised when we discover that we continue to be nurtured in our dissatisfaction. Both are true. This can cause us some acid reflux, also known as ajna. Our way of relating with others also changes slightly and remains the same. We continue to become irritated, impatient, and angry, but more gently. Our faults and failings are more visible to us, and the need to hide them, get rid of them, or project them onto others somewhat lessens. We are more at ease with the reality that we are a paradox of unresolved questions, issues, hurts, and joys. Our ego selves continue to demand attention, require stroking, feel offended, and urge us to return to drawing water from the well, when we were in control. The felt need to be in control, or to claim that God is in control, never, I suspect, fully and completely leaves us. Our personality types push us to one tendency or another. Our likes and dislikes color our perspectives and draw us to biases and or bigotry. We still shut people out and throw people away, and we experience moments when none of this happens. These moments, Teresa says, are the final segment of the journey. As fragile as these moments are, they are eternal. The prayer of union happens to us unexpectedly because we can't expect it. When we do expect it, we prevent union from happening. The image that Teresa uses here is rain. Rain happens. We don't cause it. We might, on some occasions, even complain about the rain. The water that falls to the earth soon merges with the soil, and the two can no longer be identified as true. John of the Cross uses a similar image, wood being consumed by fire. He asks, where does the fire begin and the wood end? It is nearly impossible to tell. Our ego selves, during these brief moments, are nine factors. This doesn't mean that our ego selves die or completely disappear. It requires numerous fleeting moments, which are eternal, for the impact to have a longer effect on our way of life. Each experience, however, extends the transformative effects. We are likely, writes Mirabai Starr in her article, The Way of Imperfection, Teresa of Avila and Our Blessed Humanness, to still bumble through the human condition, behaving unskillfully at times and with more grace at others. But with each taste of union, we identify a little less with the individual personality and more with our essential unity with the divine. We are less likely to take passing circumstances as seriously as we used to. Our values shift from acquiring security to serving the one through being of service to the world. Teresa then dispels the illusion that union with God is some artificial state of perfection available only to the spiritual elite who glide past the obstacles that throw off the rest of us. Stop. Rather, the fragile and fleeting moments of union that we experience are God freely being God. Each segment of the journey affects external change. We can, for a time, lay claim to causing ourselves to change by acts of discipline. The longer we make such claims, however, the more we will tend to hide from ourselves by often projecting onto others our failures. It is our willingness to interact with others, as Teresa points out, that can help dispel our ego selves' fantasies. The external change, in turn, helps us to see, often indistinctly, that we have our feet in more than one segment of the journey. Sometimes manually drawing water from the well, sometimes channeling the water from a nearby river, sometimes having rain fall upon us. Ultimately, we might discover it really doesn't matter. Each segment, every segment in which God is, and God is in the gaps of each segment, is eternity. I was short. Sure.